The open meeting, the Federal Election Commission for January 11th, 2024 will come to order. Good morning and welcome to Federal Election Commission's first open meeting for 2024. This promises to be an important year for the agency and for the country, along with hundreds of primary and general elections for House and Senate seats in Congress. This is a presidential election year. In fact, the first caucuses for the Republican presidential primary are in just 4 days. As citizens go to the polls to elect new leaders for the country, the importance of the FEC's work only becomes more apparent. Our mission is to administer and enforce the campaign finance laws that Congress has passed, consistent with our obligations under the First Amendment, to ensure the integrity and transparency of political campaigns for federal offices. Here's what that looks like in practice. This year, millions of campaign contributions and expenditures will be made, totaling billions of dollars. And all of it will be publicly reported and available on the FEC's website. The commission will field thousands of calls to its helpline, host hundreds of people at compliance seminars, close out scores of enforcement matters, and likely issue dozens of advisory opinions. All of this work will be done to ensure compliance with the law and to protect the integrity of the political process. This election year presents many exciting opportunities at the commission to break new ground. Under my colleagues' leadership in the past 3 years, we've completed a host of substantive rulemakings on issues ranging from candidate salaries, to internet disclaimers, to audit procedures. That hard work is going to continue this year as my fellow commissioners and I strive for consensus and compromise on important topics in our agency's jurisdiction. For example, I intend for us to resolve the outstanding rulemaking petition on artificial intelligence this year, to consider rulemakings on issues like candidate security and segregated party accounts, and to offer more detailed interpretations of our existing regulations through informal guidance documents. With these efforts and much more, the commission will continue to serve the public interest and to fulfill our statutory duties. At the same time, this year brings challenges too. The single greatest danger to the FEC's success is a lapse or a deep cut in appropriations. Without sufficient funding for the agency's operations, the commission may be forced to reduce staff headcount, to delay or eliminate vital IT projects, and to restrict public access to agency services. I hope it doesn't come to that. But the commission is committed to doing its best with the resources that it has. Beyond appropriations, the commission must continue to modernize its operations, to defend the agency in court, and to keep its enforcement docket moving. Despite these challenges and the serious work ahead of us, I remain optimistic. While these obstacles would be insurmountable for the commissioners alone, this agency will see things through because of our dedicated staff. The career staff at the FEC work their guts out. They are talented, experienced, and dedicated to public service. I am grateful for the work they've done and will do this year, and I look forward to working with them and with all my fellow commissioners to do our job for the American people. With that, before we move into our substantive agenda, Madam Vice Chair, we have some, at least one late submitted document.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm excited to look forward to working with you to further the important mission of our agency and want to echo your comments about our great staff who really do terrific work. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the commission may consider agenda document number 24-01-B.
Thank you. I'm going to call the question. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion passes unanimously. The first item on our agenda is advisory opinion 2023-09 from Senator Cortez Masto. We have counsel for the requester here who are welcome to come up to the table. And counsel from the Office of General Counsel, Mr. Robert Knopp and Mr. Stefanovic here. I'll let counsel get settled. And then Mr. Knopp, if you could start us off with a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, commissioners. Before you are two draft responses to an advisory opinion request from Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. The requester proposes to establish a non-federal committee to engage in conduct exclusively in connection with non-federal elections. The requester plans to raise and spend funds for this committee in amounts and from sources that comply with the act. The requester asks whether the proposed non-federal committee would share a contribution limit with her existing Federal Leadership PAC. Both drafts before you conclude that the requester may establish the committee and that the committee would not share a contribution limit with her existing Federal Leadership PAC. The commission received no comments on the request and one comment on the drafts. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Council. Colleagues, any questions? Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you. First, let me thank you for your comment on the draft. We don't always get those, and they're helpful when we do. And in this case, I think they clarified some important factual predicates or not there, at least to me, from the original request. My question's open-ended, and I'll direct it to the requester's counsel. But the difference between the drafts, as our counsel ably noted, is that, the issue is whether or not the state entity would be affiliated with the Federal Leadership PAC. What is your view of that, if you have one? And what would you see as the practical implications for your client, depending on which of those paths to go down?
So our view as expressed in our request is we would urge the commission to not use the two as affiliated. I think it's a better rule of the limitations of the scope of the plaintiff to the act and the reach that it can have to a non-federal committee. But that said, in this particular instance, there is not practical difference to how the state PAC will operate between thus A and B, and either saying that for purposes of the contribution limits we need to aggregate versus saying they are affiliated or not. So we, just for the sake of being transparent with the commission, we have no real preference just in terms of pure outcomes. I don't think there is a difference, but I did very much appreciate reading draft B and the way it grappled with the question of what is the constitutional limitation on the scope of committee in the sense of an unregistered committee for purposes of the affiliation rules. And I understand the reason to grapple with that, but in our particular instance, practically, I don't think it will have an impact.
Sure. Yes. No, thank you. That answers my question. I suspect this is even not the last time that the bar and commission grapple with this question. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, any other questions for OGC or for the requester's counsel? Not. I have a couple questions for the Office of General Counsel from Mr. Knopp. Draft A concludes that the non-federal committee or the proposed non-federal committee and the leadership PAC are affiliated, but only for the purposes of contribution limitations. And I want to understand the implications of that for other practical effects of affiliation. So my, one question I have is whether the Senator Cortez Masto's leadership PAC would be required to list the proposed non-federal committee as a affiliate on that committee's statement of organization.
Mr. Chairman, the answer to that question is no, it would not. It is not the type of committee that would need to be listed on the statement of organization as an affiliated committee. It is not of the type of committees that is defined as something that would need to be listed as affiliated. It is neither a federal committee nor even as a non-federal committee. It is not participating in any sort of joint fundraising activity, as far as we know, with the Federal Leadership PAC, which is the only case that I can think of where they would be required to be listed as an affiliated committee.
Thank you for that clarification. My other question was really about the limited scope of the AO with respect to that affiliation analysis for purposes of contribution. Again, we're dealing with 11 CFR section 110.3, which has that clause, regardless of whether it's a defined political committee under the other relevant regulation defining it. This opinion then applies and analyzes only the contribution limit affiliation between a federal committee and a state level committee. Does this opinion say anything about whether there would be an affiliation between a federal committee and, say, a non-committee or another kind of non-committee organization, such as an issue advocacy organization?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think, that obviously is not the question presented here. It's a hypothetical situation. But I do think that an answer can be inferred from what is in the drafts. And as described in the drafts, being determined to be a committee is a condition precedent to a finding of affiliation. So I think you can infer an answer from that.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any other questions? Not happy to move on to motions. If any colleagues want to move either of the drafts. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to advisory opinion 2023-09, request from Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, I move approval of agenda document number 24-OM-A, which is denominated as draft A.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Rush,
yes. Chairman, rather. Thanks for getting used to it. I just want to be clear before the vote that I agree that the requester can undertake the activity that it asked to undertake. However, it's probably unsurprising to people. I agree with the requester that the state entity would not be affiliated with the federal leadership PAC. And for that reason, I intend to oppose the vote for that narrow reason. Thank you, Commissioner. Colleagues, any other discussion or points? I will say that I'm going to support the motion, but I understand Commissioner Dickerson's concerns. My support for the draft is driven by my reading of 110.3 and this clause of regardless clause that's in that, and further informed by counsel's point that practically it makes very little difference whether they have two contribution limits or they share one, but the money raised by one committee doesn't count towards that contribution limit. It's a bit six one way, half a dozen the other. And for that reason, I'm interested in getting council an answer, a four vote, at least answer to their request. So I'm going to be supporting that. Any other comments? If not, the vice chair has moved draft A. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All of those opposed?
No.
No. That motion carries by a vote of 4-2 with myself, the vice chair, Commissioner Broussard, Commissioner Lindenbaum in favor, Commissioner Traynor and Commissioner Dickerson opposed. Thank you very much, council. The second advisory opinion and the last item on our agenda is draft advisory opinion 2023-10 from Sony Pictures Television. We have counsel from the requester here in person, which we always appreciate. And we have counsel from the Office of General Counsel getting settled. And Ms. Rufner, whenever you are ready, please lead us off with the presentation.
Chairman Cooksey. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 24-02-A contains a draft response to an advisory opinion request by Sony Pictures Television, a television production and distribution company. Since 2017, Sony has produced a fictional television program called The Good Doctor, with Mr. Hill Harper playing a regular character on the show since its inception. On July 10th, 2023, Mr. Harper filed as a candidate in the 2024 Democratic primary to represent Michigan in the U.S. Senate. Sony thus asks whether the media exemption in the Federal Election Campaign Act and commission regulation applies to the production and distribution of a fictional entertainment program that includes a candidate for U.S. Senate. The draft concludes that under the facts presented in the request, Sony's production and distribution of The Good Doctor is exempt from regulation under the Act's media exemption because one, Sony is a media entity that regularly produces television programming, including fictional entertainment for distribution via broadcast and television, cable television, excuse me. Two, neither Sony nor its parent company is owned or controlled by any political party, political committee, or candidate. And three, Sony is acting in its legitimate media function because the materials it produces are available to the general public, and The Good Doctor is comparable to materials ordinarily issued by Sony. The commission received no comments on the request or on the bill.
Thank you very much, counsel. Commissioners, are there any questions for OGC or for requesters counsel here or other points of discussion? If they're here, I'll ask counsel for the requester. You can submit any written comments in response. We only have one draft
that's been put out. Do you have any comments on the draft or anything else we should know before we consider voting on it?
No, I was hoping not to turn my mic on, but other than to thank the staff and the commission for an efficient and positive outcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Colleagues, anything else? Otherwise, I think we're ready for motions. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to advisory opinion request 2023-10, I move approval of agenda document 24-02-A. Draft A, also the only one.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair. Colleagues, any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call that question. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And that motion carries unanimously. Ms. Rubner, I want to say thank you. This is your first presentation. The Commission of Advisory Opinion did an excellent outcome, an excellent job. You've blown us away with the analysis and the draft. So thank you very much. And thank you very much, Council, for the requesters. That concludes our substantive agenda for this first open meeting. So let me end by asking, Mr. Staff Director, are there any executive or administrative matters for consideration today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Thank you very much. This open meeting is adjourned.